Last May, I was diagnosed with stage 4 aggressive cancer. And I have been attending the Gary Kelly Centre since then for support and for counselling and to, you know, to keep myself going, you know. But I, as I said, I was diagnosed last May. When they diagnosed me, unfortunately, they had missed it for a number of years. And it had got to a stage where I had stage 4 aggressive cancer, which had spread from my breast into my sternum and my liver. It obviously came as quite a it came as quite a shock, but also as anger as well, because I had presented myself at so many times to the hospital, all to be told more or less that I was hypochondriac, that there was nothing wrong with me, and that I needed to just go home and stop this complaining, basically. But I knew myself. I knew I persisted. I stood strong. I knew there was something wrong. And when they diagnosed me, after I felt the anger, you know, I nearly felt empowerment, because I now knew what was there, that I knew that I had for this long. And, you know, it was time to say, right, this is it. I've got it. I'm going to take this and I'm going to challenge it and I'm going to win this. And that was my outlook on it when I was diagnosed.
Does it not torture you to think that had this been picked up earlier, this could have been stopped in its tracks?
Absolutely. I mean, when I looked further into this, I realised that possibly I had this 2 to 4 years, and it could have been easily detected at stage one. And at stage one, I would have had a 99% chance of, you know, it never coming back, basically. I'm now in the lower bracket of that. There's only 8% of people with my stage that have got through 5 years more living with it. And that is really, really hard to accept. But I don't view it like that. I mean, I view it that they told me in May that I couldn't get into remission. In October the 20th of last year, they told me that I was in remission from stage 4 cancer. They don't know how I did it, but I believe that a positive mind and determination, and I've got babies at home, my husband, I'm too stubborn. Nothing's going to stop me. I won't take that for an answer. I won't take somebody putting a death sentence on me. It's not about that. I've too much to live for, too much going on in my life to help people. And I'm determined, absolutely, to keep going.
You're remarkable.
Thank you.
No, you are. To be in, to have your mind set in such a way,
yeah,
despite all you've been through. Mm-hmm. In terms of where you are when you say in remission, what does that mean? Are you on drugs, medication at the moment?
Yes, I'm on. I take about 24 tablets a day. I attend chemotherapy every 3 weeks still, which that would be for the rest of my life. That won't end. And I get regular scans every 3 months to make sure the cancer is... Remission basically means the cancer is asleep and not active at the moment. And we're trying to keep it asleep with all the drugs that I'm taking. But I'm a fighter. I mean, I was born a fighter. My dad was a fighter, and that's kind of where I get my strength from. And in what I do in helping the homeless, that gives me the strength and the determination to know that I'm not going anywhere. You know, I've got three babies at home. They need mummy. You know, there's no way this is going to beat me. I won't let it.
Now, those three children are gorgeous. I'm looking at a picture of them here. Erin is 9, Ben is 5, and Jake is 4.
Yes,
so they are youngsters that need you and need you to be with them. You have, though, a particular problem, and I'm really hoping, folks, that there's somebody out there today can help this wonderful lady. Tell them what your problem is.
Sure. Well, we're currently, well, first of all, myself and my husband, we've been through quite a lot. We lost our own house to the banks about 2 years ago, which made us, we moved up to Balbriggan in that time. My problem is, at the moment, is we rent a three-storey house currently in Balbriggan, and I can't use the stairs. The living space is incredibly small downstairs. I can't put a sofa bed or anything down there for myself, and I can't get up to my children to even put them to bed at night. And that, as a mother, when you're in bed, you know, on the third floor of a house, and you're listening to your family, everything going on during the day, and you can't be a part of it because you're in bed with pain or sickness, that is really, really hard emotionally on a mother. And I need more quality of life. And what would give me more quality of life is a bungalow. Ideally, this is where I need help. I need to find a bungalow to live in. That would be an absolute godsend to me and my family, because I could interact with my children, you know, 100% on one level. I could be so much more active in the house on one level. You know, I could get to feel more of a mother again, you know, and having that taken away from me is very, very hard. And, you know, I'm pleading with someone out there that has a bungalow, that, you know, we've been turned away by estate agents because we're obviously on social welfare. And, you know, it's not the case. We do so much with our time. We help others. You know, this is not a choice. You know, we both had very good careers. I worked for AIB Bank for 10 years. And, you know, this is not a choice for us. A bungalow would just be an absolute dream come true.
I absolutely love it, because you have to remember I started off in school singing in the choirs, and then I went into the musical societies and I'd be singing musicals, and I learned an awful lot of my art form from musical societies, and I love acting and I love all that kind of stuff. And incidentally, like last weekend I was in Leipzig because the soprano got sick over there, so I got a call on Thursday to say, hey, what are you doing this weekend? And I was like, I'm going on an egg hunt with my children. And they were like, well, actually we need you in Leipzig. So I was in Leipzig singing the role of Liu in Turandot, and at the moment I am studying my music for Don Carlo, which I begin on the 15th of May. And before I went, on the 15th, I just decided I wanted to do a concert, and I was approached in Nace actually to do one for the theatre there. So I'm doing a charity event for them to raise money for the theatre. And then when I knew that the boys were around, I asked them would they be available, and they said they'd like to do it. And Edward Holly is amazing, not only as a director of the St. Peter's Male Voice Choir, but he's a wonderful musician, fabulous man, and has helped me so much. And I love collaborating with him and with choir. And we're even talking now, even before this one has even happened, that we're going to maybe do a big sacred concert maybe next year.
Fantastic.
Or something at Christmas.
Yeah. I never see Edward blushing, but look, I think there's a little red in his cheeks there.
Oh, he just loves music.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you won't mention the word music to Edward and he gets all excited.
Well, he's away.
That's
for
a tip
sure.
Now for his girlfriend.
Tell me this, Christmas, I was with you in Drogheda, and then we went to see you in the Bord Gáis when you did Home for Christmas 2016.
Yes.
I just want to know, I know it's only April time.
Yeah.
Will that happen again this year?
Yes, it will. The Bord Gáis, yeah, on the 15th of December.
Oh, my word. I absolutely love the night.
Again.
You went with the classics first, and then you went into the whole Christmas in the second part of the show. Terrific. I'm delighted to hear it. So there you have an exclusive today.
Yeah, but Gaher, listen, we have to get more excited about this one on the 5th of May first.
Sorry, Celine. Sorry.
Yeah, bring it back.
We do. Listen, let's have a song. Come on. We're here. We're geared up for you. We're ready to go.
I tell you what, we'll kind of do it in the style that we will be doing the concert. So I'll begin with a classical number, and I'll sing for you O Mio Babbino Caro from Gianni Schicchi. And incidentally, to your listeners, so they know what this is about, an awful lot of people think, is this Bambino? Bambino is the word for baby. Babbino is an affectionate term for her dad, because she's saying to her father, if you do not let me marry my beloved Ranuccio, I will throw myself into the Arno, which is the river. So it's a bit of a sad song,
but
it's a beautiful one. So let's give it a bash.
Away we go.
Mi piace bene,
Is that okay? Can I say it on the air? Can I? Am I allowed to say it? Will I say it? Yes, I'll tell you the little story. We had Ronan Keating lined up there to sing to you as well. And the jury, that was led by Miss Deirdre Harley and abetted by Celine Byrne and Edward Holly, said, dump him. Love it or shove it. We shoved Ronan, so we did in favour of Supertramp. Sorry, Ronan, I do like you. Anyway, let's move on Late Lunch.
Sorry, Ronan, life is a roller coaster and you're at the bottom of the roller coaster and Supertramp are at the top.
I love it. That's what I have to put up with every day of the week, isn't it? Great. Aren't I lucky? And thanks to the secret admirers who sent in the Easter eggs. She got two Easter eggs from secret admirers. Well done. Thank you, whoever you are. Keep them coming.
Oh,
she loves
God.
Them. The hips don't lie. Anyway, let's move on Late Lunch, because I have a lovely young man that you're going to meet now on the show. When I tell you that he's become Ireland's youngest peace commissioner, he's a journalist, author and commentator. He tells me I spoke to him last year on the show by phone. He's in studio today. I'm delighted to welcome Andrew Ralph to Late Lunch. Good to see you, Andrew.
Good to see you, Gerry. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining me. First off, what age are you?
I'm 21. Last month I was 21, yeah.
And you're a peace commissioner?
I'm a peace commissioner, yes.
How did this happen?
Well, it was suggested to me that I should apply to be a peace commissioner because I had a lot of experience in the community organising things and it would be right up that kind of street. So I put in an application to the Minister for Justice and went to the guards, had an interview, don't have a criminal record, which was a very important factor in the process. And then I just received a letter from the Taoiseach and the Minister for Justice, and I was appointed a peace commissioner. And in the letter was my oath of office. So I've been a peace commissioner now for the past 2 weeks, and I'm the youngest in the country.
Congratulations to you.
Thank
I'm
you very
from
much.
Both in County Meath in the North East, we're very proud of you. What does it mean? What does a peace commissioner do?
Well, a peace commissioner was the title peace commissioner was created in 1924, and a peace commissioner is predominantly someone that references legal signatures on a document. So I've already been asked to help Ashburn Scouts, for example, and their work. I've already helped a lady to do with a nursing home. So basically, I'm a reference when it comes to legal signatures. And that is the main role of a peace commissioner. Now, there are some antiquated things that a peace commissioner can do, like slaughtering cattle and all this. But that's all back. That all goes back to 1924. So a lot of that wouldn't be done today. The role mainly consists of me being a witness to documents.
Yes.
and someone that people can depend on as a valid reference when it comes to documents.
You're a trusted, upright person. I've heard that before, spoken at 21 years of age, and there you go. And of course, you will have people calling on you. That's the thing, you do put yourself
yes,
out there.
Absolutely,
people
yes.
People will know that, and they'll hear you today that you are, and when they need you, they'll give you a shout. You don't mind that being called
upon? Not at all, no. I think it's very important that I play a role in helping people if they need my services, and that's what I'm there to do. So I would be delighted if people got in touch and if they sought my services as a peace commissioner, because that's what a peace commissioner does, and that's why I'm happy to be one, and I'm happy to serve the people that need the services of a peace commissioner.
You mentioned it was approved at government level, and you are a young fella at 21, but probably there's a little clue in the peace commissioner that you have an interest in politics. Are you
yes.
a member? Are you a party member?
Yeah, well, I would vote for Regina Doherty.
Fine Gael.
Fine Gael, yes.
Now, you're a young fella and, you know, Fine Gael, a fairly conservative right-wing party, not known maybe for younger folk. You're a little bit out of step, are you, with your peers?
No, not really. I think Fine Gael represents people from all different backgrounds, and we're seeing now that we could have a new leader, and if that leader is perhaps Leo Varadkar, we're going to have a young leader that has, a vision for the future and the country. I think we'll need that new leadership, especially with everything that's happening in the world, like Trump and Brexit. But I think here in Ireland, most things are pretty calm in comparison to other countries. It seems that the world is going up in flames elsewhere, but we in Ireland seem to play it safe. And so I would think that Fine Gael is a forward-thinking party. And obviously, when they came into government in 2011, the country had unemployment at least 15%. It's now 6%. I think things are going in the right direction, and I'd like to see the party in government for another few years.
From my heart, I say to you all, thank you everybody who's been in touch with us since Adele Campbell spoke to us at the start of the show. We're looking to help her. She's stage four cancer. She needs a bungalow. A bungalow on the ground. She's in a three-story house at the moment renting and she just can't do it anymore. We've got lots of contacts from you out there and I say thanks a million to you. Offers of bungalows for her. We have them. We do indeed. If you can help again, it's still not too late. She'll consider everything. Here's another comment from Geraldine Gallagher, Nat Boy. She says, I would love to help Adele and her family towards the cost of that dream holiday in Disney World. I'm sure your listeners, Jerry, would only be too delighted to help this family. If we all donated even the price of a cup of coffee, wouldn't it make our dream come true? And eventually, I like that suggestion, Geraldine. Leave it with us. Jerry, your lady guest is just amazing. Well done to Adele. Do hope someone offers her a home. They have, Vera. They have indeed. And they keep coming to us. Deirdre.
And Jerry, if anybody, maybe, I know the bungalow is a big ask.
Yes.
But if people do want to contribute, you know, the price of a cup of coffee towards that Disney World dream for Adele, we have put the link up to the GoFundMe
yes.
page up on our Facebook. So if you go onto the LMFM page, you'll find all the information there and you can donate as much or as little as you like.
As you will, yes.
But Jerry, just a note and to move on a little bit, we could have a significant prize winner for the lotto in County Louth and time is running out to claim. It's a prize that has been unclaimed thus far and it's over €80,000. It was a lotto match 5 plus the bonus and it's still unclaimed and the deadline to claim the prize is the 28th of April, so it's coming
okay.
up next Friday. The €5 quick pick ticket was bought on Saturday the 28th of January in the Central News in Clambastle Street in Dundalk, so we
okay.
know where the ticket was bought. If you can, I suppose if that's your ticket.
If you have a lotto ticket stuck in your drawer
yeah.
at home, in your purse, in your bag, dig them out. If you bought it in Central News in Clambrassa Street in Dundalk, you could be worth, how much is it, 80,000 euros?
80,620.
It's not claimed.
No, it's
and
not claimed.
Time is running out.
The
Come
winning
on.
Numbers were 13, 14, 22, 24, 25, 42, and the bonus number is 7.
I'm oh laughing God. Because my next guests, Amanda and Annette Callan, are checking their handbags here as I speak. Stay with us on Late Lunch. You'll love the story. It's coming up after the break. So there's no big secret in this. It's just
well,
really
I didn't
logic.
I didn't find it hard.
Did you find, were you deprived? Did you feel hunger pangs? Oh, I want a bun, I want this, I want
no,
that.
No, because if you're 15 sins a day, you know what sins is in everything. So you know, you can have
your treat.
Your treat. You can have your treat.
But it's managed.
It's managed, yeah. I know every day what I'm going to eat.
So
I
from manage, your start manage. In 15, how long does it take you to shed that 4 or 5 stone? Over what period of time?
Well, this is my 2 years now.
Yeah.
It was six,
so it's been steady.
Yeah, been steady. Lately it's been steady, very steady.
Yeah.
I'm nearly happy enough as I am, but I'll keep going just to keep an eye
what
on
What weight
it.
Are you now?
I'm 14, 12, I think. Yeah. I think I'm 14,
And you're
12.
A tall lady.
Yeah.
Yes, you can carry it. You
yeah.
certainly can. You look amazing.
Oh, thanks very much.
You do. And I see the pictures before and after.
Yeah.
What a transition. It's incredible. So, yeah. Mammy Annette does
yeah.
it. Does that put the pressure on daughter Amanda?
Of course it does. And to have that huge pride in Mum to see how well she was doing. And obviously I was overweight and I'm a lot shorter than Mum. So I couldn't carry it as well. So... For me, it was, right, I have to do something here. Because I'm a young girl, I'm only 35. My friends are all slim, they're all, do you know what I mean? And I just look so huge in comparison to them. So that for me, was I wanted to be like my friends, do you know
what
I mean?
You see this photograph I'm looking at
yeah.
here? There's two pals of yours, one,
yeah.
that's not you in the
Oh,
middle.
It is me, yeah, absolutely.
You
yeah.
are joking me.
No, 100%, yeah.
What weight were you there?
I was 16 stone 10.
And height-wise again?
I'm only about 5'2.5", 3 at a push.
So you're in trouble.
Oh, I'm in big trouble, yeah.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, big trouble.
So was it that picture or was it Mum getting involved or what?
But you know when your mum's saying to you, come on, come to Slim World, and I'm like, no, because it's Mum telling me. So, but it was that picture. When I seen that picture pop up on my Facebook, like my friends were sharing it, you know, to celebrate our night out. Like it wasn't special. And then for me to see that, honestly, to be honest, Jerry, I cried for 3 weeks. I really did. I was absolutely devastated. So I says, I have to do something. I can't keep going the way I am.
So when did you start?
What? I started in January 2016.
About a year after your mum died.
Exactly, nearly a year to when Mum was out, yeah.
And how did your weight come down? By how much over what period of time again?
I have lost 6 stone 2 in 15 months.
That is just sensational. What are you going to say, ma'am?
Cricket, love cricket.
Well, listen, yeah. Hold on a minute.
Yeah, there's no competition, John.
Oh, no. No. And, you know, no. The old dog for the hard road, the yeah, experience,
exactly.
The you
ears
know what I mean?
Are on me.
Ah, yeah, take her, and you've just done it at your own pace as well. Yeah, yeah. Isn't that incredible?
Oh,
that
is amazing, yeah.
Did you ever figure, and you know, we do our Lose Weight and Feel Great here on Late Lunch every year, and we did put out the equivalent, we did it in litres of milk this year for what they lost. Did you ever consider, both of you, that if you put out 12 stone there in sugar? Mm. Or something about, yeah. Do you know
huge.
How huge that is?
It's huge.